talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today. The Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk, Friday, February the 16th, 2024, 13 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Pastor Craig for the big Exchange Club program today. And this is kind of an odd broadcast because I believe it's the first time in quite some time that we don't have a local or big gaping issue to start the broadcast with.
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Nothing big.
No.
No, I mean, it's not Super Bowl.
I mean, things got really quiet here locally on politics.
And I think they are right now.
Yeah.
But I think something big will happen. I think it's just in a holding stage right now. But there is still stuff to talk about. And as we alluded to last week, Pastor Craig and I are not big fans of the Super Bowl. Mm-mm. But there was a lot of fol-de-rol about this Super Bowl. And one of the things, we've talked it to death, Matt and I have, on the show with Jessica earlier and with Carrington the other night. But I want to get Pastor Craig's thoughts. The most watched broadcast since the moon landing, 123.4 million people watched the Super Bowl on Sunday night. Do you think that's because it was the Super Bowl, or do you think that's because it was Taylor Swift?
I'll have to be honest and admit that I think it probably had to do with Taylor Swift.
So do I. But interestingly enough, just to be fair here, the previous most watched event was the Super Bowl the year before, but only 115 million people watched that. So we're talking about an extra 8 million people.
And this could have still been the biggest without Taylor Swift, but it might have been 116 million or 117 million.
Right. You know,
I think it definitely got a boost from her being there.
And I think this, again, says something about her as opposed to Michael Jackson, as opposed to Elvis Presley. And it's weird to say that. They didn't have that thing where they could go into another area and raise it up.
Right.
She does.
Right.
For whatever reason.
Yep.
Matt, any final thoughts on the big rating?
I think that football has a steady growth every year in terms of like a fan base and who watches it. But I would say that a solid portion of that 8 million people probably did come from Taylor Swift watching the game.
So what does this end up saying about her in the grand scheme of things?
Cult leader.
Well, I don't think it's a cult, but it says something.
I think if there were no Taylor Swift this Super Bowl, Travis Kelce wouldn't have chest bumped the coach.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's an interesting thing in and of itself. Travis Kelce chest bumps or pushes, however people see it. 65-year-old Andy Reid yells in his face, screams at him, and has to be pulled off by another player, bear hugged. What'd you make of that when you saw it? Before the apology and before the fines and suspensions that we all know now, what'd you make when it happened, or you heard about it?
Yeah, when I heard about it, I thought, he was feeling too good about himself.
Were you surprised that people defended it?
Yes.
I was shocked at that.
Yes, I was surprised that anybody would defend that.
Because I guess I'm not shocked at the commentators that defended it, because I get that they're in that field. But when I went on social media and saw people defending that, just John Q. Public, I thought, would you let your own kid do that to you? Would you let your own kid do that to a senior citizen?
Right. I just had a problem with it. You know, it's not acceptable in any circumstance.
And I'm very proud to say, though, that most people who defended it took a beating on social media. The comment section usually was filled up with, would you let them treat their teacher that way? Would you let them, you know, people didn't like that.
No, and rightfully so.
Matt, you feel differently about this. Passion's passion, and he shouldn't have done
so,
it, but it's okay.
Like, even I mean, I won't say that it's okay. I don't condone doing it. But like Andy Reid himself, the man who got pushed and screamed at, said that he understands that Travis was just passionate, and he even said, "I love your passion for the game." And the only thing he said is, "Hey, man, I got cameras on me at all times, so just like watch out, basically."
What else is he gonna say?
I mean, he could have went over there and screamed at Travis Kelce and benched him the rest of the game. He had all the rights to do it.
So how does that look? The most famous player on the team right now, and I know people want to say it's Mahomes. It's not. During the whole
Taylor... I think it had less to do with the fact that he was the most famous player on the team and had to do more with the fact that they don't really have any other weapons on the team besides Travis Kelce.
Okay.
So if they didn't, if they benched Travis Kelce, I think they would have been stupid because they probably would have lost the Super Bowl.
I'd have benched him.
You would have lost the Super Bowl. Well, and that's how you lose your job as a head coach in the NFL.
This, you know what? This it all boils down to integrity. And you know what? If you lose your job in the NFL because you benched a guy that pushed you or bumped into you intentionally, so be it.
Do you think Mike Ditka would have let a bear do that to him when they were in every Super Bowl in the 80s?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think Bobby Knight would have let a single basketball player do that
to him. Do you think Jimmy Johnson, when the Cowboys were on their run, would have let somebody nail him on the sideline?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Woody Hayes would have put up with
it. I just think that, like, Andy Reid probably looked at it in the case of, like, look, if I...
Do you think Harbaugh would have allowed that? Big Michigan game... All this stress about the sign stealing, if a player got unhappy and just wanted to push him over and
I think
scream
Andy Reid looked at it in the terms of like, look, like if I benched him, like I mean like he like I said, he would have been in all the rights to bench him because it was uncalled for and it was out of place, you shouldn't have done it, especially in an event like the Super Bowl. But at the same time, Andy Reid one understood that it was just the passion for the game, and it, like, and if you bench a player because he's super passionate about the game, all of a sudden there's like a, it just,
where do you draw the line?
Yeah,
you can push me, you can bump me, but don't punch me.
I mean, we had this conversation earlier. So in the NFL, the moment you start throwing hands, like hands start flying and people get hit, it's a flag, okay? But like, cornerbacks and wide receivers, they have like matchups all the time, and then like say like a cornerback blocks or like, you know, deflects the ball out of the hands of a wide receiver, they're almost guaranteed to get up and then slam each other's face masks into each other and then talk crap. And that's perfectly fine. You can slam your helmets into each other all you want, but the moment hands get involved, flags.
Yeah, but I think you're missing the point here that we're making. It's not first of all, nobody is saying, we all understand he wanted to win the game. We get why he did it. I don't think you'd have to be an idiot who didn't live on planet Earth to understand why he did it. He didn't walk up to him and say, "Hey, you didn't buy my dinner last night."
I mean, I don't know.
I get that it was about the game.
I mean, I think
I understand that.
I think that a lot of people did not think that it was about the game. They thought that he was upset. They thought that he was genuinely like upset.
How many other players on that team?
Hyped.
How many other players?
Probably 52.
Okay,
53.
The other 51 didn't walk up and scream in his face or give him a shove.
And so would he have... Should they all have lined up and then all taken their shot at him?
A lot of players vent their frustrations other ways. Like, you, it's not uncommon to see players, like, take off and throw their helmets at the ground.
Do that. Fine. Do sure. that.
But
and you get in trouble for that, too. It looks unprofessional.
So, okay.
Oh, it's worse.
It looks unprofessional. So, what is and what isn't? This didn't look unprofessional?
I mean, it happens in the NFL quite a bit. Like, I brought up the instance of, like, off the top of my head, like, Kyler Murray's yelled at Cliff Kingsbury multiple times at the time when Cliff Kingsbury was the coach of the Cardinals.
Yeah, but again, being self-aware is something people seem not to be at this point in life.
Right.
You cannot tell me that Travis Kelce does not know that, number one, he's one of the most popular players on that team. He doesn't know that it's the Super Bowl. He doesn't know it's probably going to have the biggest audience.
Well, I think the only thing he knows at the time is that it's the Super Bowl. I think that's the main thought.
If you're blacking out like that, you probably should go see a psychiatrist.
You probably end up dating Taylor Swift.
Exactly. Exactly. Which apparently might be all a fictional story, according to Jessica earlier on.
What?
Yeah.
She thought that it might all just be for the finances. Because, like, look, Taylor Swift and him date. His jersey sales go up 400%. She gets a whole bunch of new fans from the NFL fan base. It's a win-win.
Yeah, but
I'm not buying it.
No,
yeah,
no,
I'm not
no,
buying
no,
it.
No,
either,
I'm not that jaded.
No.
But again, if he was totally unaware of all this, then he probably needs to see some mental help, which, again, he does. And this is what I love about this story, which, again, I'm going to clap him on the back.
I mean, also, at this point, it's just routine. I don't know how much you think about it when you've been doing it for at least, like, what, like 13 years, maybe, something like that?
Yeah,
close to 15.
I will give the man all the credit in the world, because before he was fined, before he was suspended, he said, this is unacceptable, and I shouldn't have done it. So he took all those people who were defending him and said, you're wrong. I'm even aware that I should not have done this. So this is where I give him a big pat on the back.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
I can become a fan for doing that.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the hardest things to do, is admit when you're wrong.
Especially before the penalties come down.
Well, and also, yes, and also, this is the most watched game. More people are paying attention to your apology right now than are paying attention to anything else. So that takes a big person. He didn't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got fined and suspended anyway, so it didn't stop anything.
Yeah.
So what is the fine and the suspension?
I don't know. I'm currently looking, but I don't see. I don't know. Let's go to this one. We'll see. This one says, like, debunking.
So he,
They might have not actually. I don't know where.
See, I didn't think they did either when you said that earlier. I thought it would have been bigger news if they had.
I just assumed that you were correct, but this was the first time I've ever heard that he had gotten fined.
First time I heard it was earlier. I didn't think they had either.
Okay, so it could possibly be just a rumor.
I don't believe they did. I thought that would have been bigger news.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would wait 5 days.
No.
I mean, they knew on Monday.
Right.
I mean, the season was over.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
So, he was out of line. He's the bigger man because he, and again, not being fined or suspended even makes it look bigger, because I don't think he was facing a fine or a suspension, to be honest.
Yeah.
And
apparently it was fake. I'm not sure where the report came from, and I'm not sure where I read it at, but I did read that it had happened.
Okay. Well,
always check those sites.
Yeah.
I guess so.
You just can't trust CNN when they say certain things. No.
I mean, I don't know. I just kind of,
you know what the rule of thumb is, though?
If I just kind of assumed that. I don't know what the point of, like, false news is in the sports.
You know, well, I don't know. But all I'll say is that, yes, anything you read on something that sounds silly, if it's not a news organization that could actually be sued for libel, it's probably not the truth.
I mean, I don't know that it sounds. I mean, like, I don't know how much it was. By the way, the total, apparently it was like $10 million that it said he was fined, which was absurd. But, I mean, I think if I would have, like I said, I just heard that he was suspended for 3 games and got fined. So, like, I didn't read an article per se. It was more of like a post. But, like, I thought he was suspended at the very least. But it wouldn't have surprised me if he was suspended.
I don't think he is. But he's the point. So not. The point is, the apology really is sincere then.
Yeah. It would appear that it is.
So I'm a fan because I don't want him to do that again. It doesn't make what he did right. But the fact that he apologized when he didn't have to and used that particular word, unacceptable,
right,
that's different than I'm sorry. You know, he didn't do the dance. He didn't do the, oh, I was passionate. That's right. What makes it okay. The coach didn't really care.
I got carried away with my emotions.
He said no. It was unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I give him all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
Now, too. Why people were defending him, I have no idea. They live on a different planet.
Yep.
So that's the Super Bowl. Oh, you make anything of Taylor chugging the beer?
I didn't hear about that.
She did, and this made some news as well because.
So she just what? Chugged the beer?
She downed it.
Downed it?
Downed it. Mm. Again, self-aware. There are cameras there.
Was she up on the big screen while she was doing it?
Yes, she was. She chugged it.
Look, it's a sporting event. I think if I went to a sporting event and they put somebody who just absolutely like hammered back a beer on the wall, I think everybody would cheer.
Taylor Swift, the person in seat 345A, different situations.
I mean, I don't know. I think if I was at the game, I would have cheered and been like, "Woo, Taylor just absolutely hammered back."
I think for some reason the Super Bowl and you, there's a false equivalency on all these things. You don't seem to realize that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid are not just people playing backyard football on a Saturday.
They showed up to the Super Bowl. If I went to the Super Bowl, if I paid like, I don't know, like $2,500 for
all the cameras and the flashbulbs should have tipped them off.
I'd be drinking something.
No, but when you're Taylor Swift and that's your image, you don't do that.
So you're telling me she can't drink because it's bad
for
public image?
No, she can't drink on the camera. She certainly could have walked into it. That box has all kinds of rooms.
No, look, she is fine. Okay. I don't know
how
why.
Many,
it
how many celebrities
so
do
much.
You see smoking these days?
Smoking what?
And oh well, whatever you want. How many you see doing that in public?
In public?
Yeah, with pictures.
One.
Oh yeah. Now, the only one who does it.
Well, two. I'll give you two.
Okay, two are the only two. Only two celebrities, well-known people in the world who do that.
I mean, you also got to think of the fact that, like, every time you name somebody who's supposedly well-known, I don't know their name. I don't know actors. I don't know TV.
No, but I'm saying, have you ever seen anybody else doing it? Anybody else getting a rap like that?
I mean, JFK was well-known for doing it.
You see
he
a lot
loved
of
his Cuban cigars, and
lot,
he put an embargo on them.
See a lot of pictures of that?
That was a different time.
Also, that's before the Surgeon General's warning.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, that was a different time. You know, you're talking about the early 60s, JFK. You're talking about when, in Hollywood, everybody smoked in the movies on the screen.
But since the Surgeon General's warning, how many pictures do you see of celebrities smoking?
Rarely.
Why? Because they're self-aware that this is seen as a bad thing, even though it's legal. I'm not going to do that in front of the camera. I'm not going to do that in front of the paparazzi. When a celebrity, how many bad pictures do you see of celebrities? Few, to the point to where when you see one, you go, wow, what were they thinking? Because when they walk out of their house, they know that there's cameras there.
Yeah. Whether they like it or not, they know there's cameras.
How many pictures of Taylor Swift have we seen with her hair all messed up, you know, bunched up in one side because she just got out of bed and no makeup on?
Who's looking for pictures of Taylor Swift?
No, I'm just saying, how many pictures you see? We see a lot of pictures of her. How many pictures you see of her looking not together?
I don't see a lot of pictures of Taylor Swift.
Well, just buy one of those magazines that are full of pictures of her.
I see, that's the issue. I don't buy magazines. See, no, I think like if you're buying a
the
magazine
point
full
is,
of pictures
the
of Taylor
point
Swift,
is,
you bought it because of
that. When you do see a celebrity, you know, in an unkempt state, it's a big deal because you don't see them that often.
When's the last time you saw a president with bedhead or wearing a T-shirt when they walk up to the microphone or jeans? When's the last time you saw a president in jeans give an important speech somewhere?
I mean,
when's the last time you saw somebody with pimples or a red spot on their face or a cut or anything?
I mean, it happens.
But every time you see it?
Rarely.
I mean, I don't know. If you're talking about, like, on TV, then I mean, I think they probably cover those things up.
Because?
They just don't look good.
Oh. But was the Super Bowl on television?
Yeah.
Don't look good.
No, see, drinking goes with the Super Bowl. They're one and the same.
Not for Taylor
Anytime
Swift.
Anytime you go to a sporting event, there's bound to be alcohol involved.
And like he said, Section A, Seat 350. Yeah, the guy's going to be chugging beer. He's probably not going to have his shirt on.
Yeah, Taylor Swift can't do that.
Right.
So that's an interesting point. Taylor Swift had flashed everybody, okay, I'm sure somebody did there at the Super Bowl.
That guy streaked on the field.
He did. So Taylor Swift can do that too,
also,
now, right?
I have to just say mad respect to the NFL for not showing the person who actually ran on the field.
What if Taylor Swift had done that?
Yeah.
What if she'd streaked across the field?
Well, then there would be a double standard, and they'd probably put Taylor Swift on the TV.
Yeah, but is it okay that she does it?
No, because you're interrupting a football game.
Well, why? Somebody else did it.
Yeah, and that's illegal. The last person who did it got fined.
But NFL and these fines. This is why I don't like football. This is what they did. Fine.
They interrupted
a football game.
That guy that streaked, he's probably suspended
he
for the next three
is.
Games.
Probably is.
Oh, also, there was a dude who streaked on the field and got run over by Bobby Wagner, like one of the hardest hitting linebackers in the game, and then he sued Bobby Wagner.
Good.
No, not good.
Yeah.
No.
It's not his job. A police officer can shoot a criminal. I can't go shoot a criminal.
No, there were no...
That's vigilante justice.
That's right.
Look, look. He lost the lawsuit, first off. Second off, Bobby Wagner won, I should say. Not.
I bet there was a settlement. I bet you get deep down in there, there's some money that changed hands.
Oh, what I'm saying is that I support Bobby Wagner's decision to absolutely hit stick this man.
I'll give him $200 on a gift card at Old Navy.
That's exactly right.
Buy some clothes.
Yeah, go out and please fix that problem. You want to plug your show tonight? You didn't do that.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so tonight at 10:15.
Well, don't forget the show that precedes it. plug there, that show as well.
There, okay. There's a show before that?
I know, imagine.
All right, so...
Don't tune in till 10.
So, amazing what happens when somebody has a chance to grab a headline for themselves.
Exactly.
They forget where they came from.
How do you know
from.
I wasn't just going to put it at the end? Like, it comes after the Friday
because
Night
Live
show.
Because people could hear 10, and they could go, what? 10? The show moved to 10?
Yeah.
What they happened? Just lost
what,
everything.
They'll go, what happened to the 8 o'clock? I guess Scott's not going to be here.
They should have just listened.
Well, go ahead.
I'll start with the Friday Night Show. Okay. Yeah. So
it's good to do these things in processions.
Yeah. Tonight.
What about today after 12?
Yeah, you got that too. Coming up after this show.
Oh, yeah, okay. So coming up, man, we got all the way back.
You gotta learn how to do these promos.
So coming up today at 1, we have Pastor Craig coming back up. I'm not 100% sure what he's doing today.
What do you got?
I don't know. No,
you don't know either.
So we're going to do news analysis.
Oh, news that's not on shows like these?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go. Listen to that.
We will not be talking about...
anything that was talked here.
That's right.
There you go.
So I forgot where I was for a second.
1 o'clock show.
Yeah, 1 o'clock show.
Okay, so Pastor Craig comes on at 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock, we have a show, another show that comes on 8:15 to 10. And that's the Friday Night Live show. You don't want to miss that. That's always fun. It's always a great time. And then after the Friday Night
Show. Who's on that show? Is there anybody on that show?
No.
It's just a good time?
So, okay.
Who's on that thing?
You got me, Scott, and Carrington.
There we go.
And then so me, Scott, and Carrington, 8:15 to 10, Friday Night Live.
Christy gave you credit for your show.
I know.
Carrington and I aren't even there.
I didn't say I was at the other show. I said we.
I think it was implied when you're doing the promo.
I said we.
We. So you're you and who? Kimosabi.
And then after the Friday Night Live show.
Now here's the big special.
At 10:15, we have an interview, or I guess I have an interview with Chase Oliver, the Libertarian candidate for president.
Yes, and it give us a little tidbit.
What do you want to know?
Well, like, why
should people listen?
Yeah, I mean, because you.
I mean, I said he was a 2024 presidential candidate.
No, you said you'll want to listen tonight because I, Matt Morgan, have an exclusive interview with whatever the guy's name was. I'm sorry,
Chase Oliver.
My God,
Chase,
and if you check out his Wikipedia page, it says he is campaigning out in Iowa and will do a radio interview in Ohio. I mean, you're on his Wikipedia page. You didn't know that?
I did not. What?
The
Wikipedia
people,
page.
Yeah. Hey, you got to keep talking.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I also didn't know about this.
What?
We'll keep talking.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So
here's what I would do. Okay. Let's say here if I'm promoting my Bob Taft interview, here's how I would do it. I'd say tune in tonight at 10 o'clock for my exclusive interview with former Governor Bob Taft. Bob Taft reveals how he voted on issue 1 tonight at 10 p.m.
But what if it wasn't exclusive?
It was. Make sure it is. Was there anything exclusive in your interview? Let's put it that way.
Exclusive how? I mean, I asked him the questions that have been asked probably a lot. I asked him the questions you ask about presidential candidates. I asked him.
Do you think anybody's going to learn anything from this interview tonight?
I mean, yeah.
Well, that's what's exclusive then.
People will learn. People will learn his stances and things. I mean, also you'll learn about the Libertarian Party at the very least.
There you go.
Third largest party in the United States. The largest third party.
See, my takeaway was And I'm again without you never give away what's in the interview, so you got to just simply promote the question. But Chase Oliver will let us know if he thinks he can really win in 2024 because he does.
He does, yeah.
He tells you, and I think that's interesting. And Pastor Craig,
yes.
You saw something that we did not see.
And actually, it wasn't on his Wikipedia page, but it was a link that is to his. His campaign page. So I'm looking for this, but he specifically mentioned that he was going to be.
Did he know the time?
Yeah.
He knew it was going to be on at 10?
I mean, I don't know that he knew it was going to be on at 10. I told him that. we taped it at 5, so there's that.
Well, we'll check it out, but good. That's a positive.
I was unaware of this.
Well, I saw it. That was the only reason I knew that. That was the only reason I knew that you had an interview with him was I saw this on here. Now I'm having trouble finding it, but I did see it because that's the only way I knew that he was on.
Well, we'll find that at some point and put it out. We'll talk about that tonight at 8 o'clock. The 8 o'clock program. The show that's on at 8. But
who's on that show?
Yeah, it's hard to tell anymore who's on that show. We were talking about this with Jessica earlier on. Collateral damage breakups. Interesting. That when you break up with somebody or when you have a divorce with somebody, are there restaurants you can't go to? Are there songs you can't play? Are there people you can't see?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Because in certain instances, it would just be an uncomfortable situation.
But do you think it should be?
No, I don't. I mean, I think you need to get work through that.
But so why is it?
Because people don't want to work through things. It's just easier to just go on and just avoid the situation.
I think it's fascinating. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I agree with Pastor Craig. I think that a lot of the times people just want to like get up and move on at that point.
So don't go back to those places?
Yeah. Well, I mean, personally, I would say go back to them, but I think that a lot of the times people do just kind of want to say, you know what? Forget it. It's a lot easier to just not. So then they don't.
I don't know. I think that I can't think of any what's significant? Like, what would be an example of this?
I think Carrington gave the example of, like, the mall.
You can never go to the mall again?
I guess.
Did they break up at the mall?
I don't think they broke up at the mall. It's more so like...
They used to go to the mall together.
Yeah, it was phrased to me as if they went to the mall together a lot, therefore they don't like to go to the mall now alone because it reminds them of the time they spent together.
Okay, well, you got to work through that.
You got to go to the mall?
I think you don't got to go to the mall.
What if you get a shop?
You go to the grocery store.
But what if you need something at the mall?
Go to a marketplace.
So you got to go, you got to avoid the mall because you were with that person at the mall at one point?
Well, I think malls are a dying breed of store anyways, but yes.
I think the bigger point is, you know, you just got to get over that, you know, work through that. I mean, I can't see avoiding a place, whether it's like a restaurant that you went to every Friday night or it's a mall you guys went and walked, you know, every weekend or something like that. You know, you work through that. If it's like, for instance, a restaurant, say you guys went there every Friday night, if you really like that restaurant, then there's no reason to not go back.
No. Why would you not go back? What is the stigma?
Right.
I'm not sure there's a stigma. I think it just upsets people.
It's going to initially...
I guess the one who got broken up with.
Well, initially it's going to bring back, you know, bad feelings about the whole breakup, but that's just part of getting over that and moving it on.
I think it's just one of those things to where the more you do it, the easier it gets, and at some point you're going to kind of forget that it happened anyways.
I mean, that's related to this whole idea that when you break up, you got to tear up their pictures or delete your pictures of them out of your phone.
Yeah, that's silliness. Yeah,
I just like to burn stuff. So.
You know, unless you had a bad relationship from day one, which then I would be asking why were you in the relationship in the first place. But, you know, during that relationship, it may have ended really bad, but you had good times, you had good memories, it was, you know, you were in it for a reason. Why would you try to block all that out of your life? I mean, basically, you're taking a part of your life and trying to erase it or remove it, when in fact, during that time, you had some good times.
You know what's interesting? The other day, we were doing the show here. Now, this has nothing to do with a place, but somebody insinuated, I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, it was probably yesterday, insinuated during my show, because I think it had to do with me telling a story about somebody, and I always go to great pains to not use somebody's name, because I don't think you should do that. But if it's something that happened in your life, you're going to talk about it.
Sure.
And because I told this, apparently that made me seem like an unhappy person. And I thought about that, and I talked about it on yesterday's show. I said, do I seem like an unhappy person? And you're basing that on me telling a story about somebody? Now, maybe you did know who it was. Maybe you did read between the lines. But if the story's true, why is that a problem? And I probably knew that person better than you did if I was that close to them. So maybe I know something you don't know about that person.
Well, you know, stop and think, your life involves a whole bunch of stories. And those whole bunch of stories usually involve people. I mean, you know, our lives don't happen in a vacuum. It happens with people. And you're going to have a lot of good stories. There are going to be probably some that are neutral, and there are going to be some that are probably some bad stories. But that's your life. That's what happened to you. So I don't see any reason why you wouldn't share any of those, whether it was good, bad, neutral, whatever.
Because apparently in some people's eyes, it makes the other person come off bad. But if I'm not using their name, why is this a problem? Like I said, I've told on the air for years. I guess it just gets more personal depending on who's listening. Because I've told on the air for years about the card to the wedding. Which, again, I've never used the people's names who I sent it to. It's an absolutely true story. I'm not supposed to tell that. I've always told the engagement story about me not being aware of being engaged. That is an absolutely true story. It involved an absolutely true person. I've never said their name. But for some reason, if I say anything about a current person, ooh, gee whiz, don't do that.
People are too touchy.
They are touchy. And I start to wonder, well, maybe they're upset. Now, my point is, and I did say this yesterday, if somebody was really, really thought I was hammering somebody and somebody really was hurt by it, if they told me that, I wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
So, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Lighten up.
I mean, I think they're probably under the assumption that if they told you that it bothered them.
But I'm not saying it about them.
People have a habit of, like, using that kind of thing as fuel.
For what?
I don't know.
If I told a story about you and didn't use your name, would you make it obvious by firing at people that it was you?
No, just keep quiet.
Yeah.
You know, if you tell a story, you know, about me or whatever, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's me he's talking about. Well, I may be the only person in the whole world that makes that connection. So why would I bring it up? Because nobody else may know.
Well, I'll tell you the thing I talk about all the time, and we talk about all the time, is multiple divorces. And you know what? In my mind, there truly is not a person that springs to my mind. Now, people right now are listening, oh, that's a lie. Because you know why? Because they know somebody.
Right.
But guess what? Just off the top of my head right now, when I did put a person with it, I can think of three people who I could be explaining who've been married more than twice. So, who is this directed at? Now, if you fall in that category, that's your fault. If you're ashamed for being married more than two times and divorced, that seems to be more your problem than my problem.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I was unaware we were talking about under the circumstances of not using a person's name.
No, I never use anybody's name, unless I'm sure they are aware or they've given me permission to use their name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes more sense. I thought it was more like, you were talking about something that somebody didn't like, so then the other person just didn't say anything. But it'd be more so they didn't say anything because, like, they almost thought that if they said something, you would just do it more.
I can't pinpoint it. I think it came out of the story, which I did not bring up last Friday night, about the breakfasts that I said that I got a certain day for. And Carrington brought that up. I did not bring it up. And I didn't mention the person's name. And if you do happen to know that person, well, okay, maybe you know who I'm talking about. But what did I say that was so bad?
I mean,
Worse than the false engagement or the card.
I mean, you said it was deceitful and dishonest.
I didn't say it was deceitful. And I do believe it was. But I certainly believe the people who got the wedding card completely overreacted and were completely obnoxious to do what they did and hold this grudge 20 years later.
They're still holding this grudge.
I can be around them, but it's still an overtone. It's always been an overtone. But the person who I was falsely engaged to, you know, I still talk to that person every so often. So they don't seem to be broke up, but that's certainly not the kindest thing to say about somebody. It makes them look delusional, I guess. So, and deceitful. So what's so wrong about me saying that I believe that the breakfast thing was delusional and deceitful? I didn't throw anybody under the bus.
I mean, I guess you didn't use a name, which is true. But, like, I mean, if the person who did it was listening, I think they'd be a little
upset. That's their fault.
I guess so, I guess. But
if you want to listen, no, I'm happy you're listening. I have no problem with that. But you can't take these things personal.
No. You know, maybe if that person was listening and that person knew that they were that person and maybe they took it personally, maybe they need to examine themselves.
And if it bothered you, tell me.
Yeah.
I will not do it. But if you're asking my opinion, which is what Carrington did, I believe, I do believe it was a bigger example of a deceitful act because you did it continuously without being asked, without notice for at least two years, maybe more than that. And then when things got rocky, it stopped. So all I'm saying is clearly that was based upon either wanting me to like you or me liking you.
Rocky how? Did you guys not like each other anymore? Like then?
No, I don't dislike that person. I just have no contact with them.
What about then? When they stopped giving you breakfast, what had happened?
It wasn't anything big. I really don't remember. You know, if you think, but I couldn't tell you how anything. Like honestly, I think about the engagement when that ended, and I lived with that person. I don't remember exactly how it ended. Well, I remember moving out.
So I guess the what doesn't necessarily matter. It's more of a like, I mean, like if they didn't, if like I guess you guys did something, or if I guess if you did something that they I guess all of a sudden disliked you for. I don't think I'd be getting.
I don't think we ever had a conversation like that.
There wasn't a big blow up.
No, okay, no, okay. There was no big argument. Nope. No big argument. No big disagreement. No big whatever.
Just one day, no more breakfast.
Yeah, but there was also no more anything. There was no more communication. Yeah. Is what I should say. Yeah. So that's why it looked disingenuous to me. And back to collateral damage, there was collateral damage because I didn't just know that person. I knew a lot of other people with that person, and that person had been on the air here at one point. So there was collateral damage, I guess.
Happened.
Right, but I don't use their name. I don't trash them. So I don't understand why that's such a problem. I don't think that makes me angry either.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
The people around me, Matt, do you find me coming in with just fits of anger and running people into the ground?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. People should hear what is said when the commercial breaks are playing. My gosh.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, it terrible. Is.
I'm stuck on certain people, and I just, beat them to death.
And microphones being thrown against the wall.
It's a real thing during the breaks here. But it's funny to me. I mean, I as I've said before, this is one of the happiest times, certainly around here, and I think happy times in general. Goodness gracious, the groundhog thing went so well.
Yep.
The fair went so well. It was a great Christmas season. I mean, what could be better right now? I don't got me.
No, it's fun being here.
Yeah,
it
but
is.
It's also life is fun.
Yes,
I mean, why is life not fun? It's enjoyable to go do things and have fun.
That's right.
Yeah. Big things are coming up at the end of this month.
Really?
Yeah. Just had a conversation with Bob about something going on.
Really?
We'll all be involved with.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't tell us any more than that.
I don't want to say it on the air yet because I don't think we're confirming up with Bob till Monday, but yeah, it's going to be fun.
Cool.
Just talked about it earlier. See, that's how things happen.
Wow.
Networking.
Yeah. Matt's got his own show.
Absolutely.
And he's got Chase Oliver tonight.
10 o'clock.
We're going to find out if Chase Oliver really thinks he can win.
Great interview.
10:15 to 11 p.m.
Absolutely.
There was one more thing I wanted to tell. Oh, you know, we did not spend a whole lot of time on the Biden age thing last week because we had a phone call. You know what? As 2 weeks have passed now, to be honest with you, I don't think it's quite getting the traction that I thought it would. It's still a story, but it's certainly not the story it was 8 days ago.
Yeah, I thought we'd still be we'd still be hearing the fallout from it.
I think the press conference after was a mistake. I think that's what made it a bigger story for 3 or 4 days, but it's not. I think there are too many things going on in the world right now that it's getting knocked off the front page.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I think the Tucker Carlson interview certainly didn't help with Vladimir Putin.
That came out of left field.
You know what? And Tucker Carlson's not on any news channel anymore. I believe he's a streaming guy.
Yeah.
But it was just a horrible interview. I hate to say it. It was just a horrible interview.
I thought it was a good interview.
He softballed him. It was a complete softball.
You go asking Vladimir Putin hard questions and you'll be put in the prison cell.
Go search a Barbara Walters Vladimir Putin interview or a Mike Wallace Vladimir Putin interview.
Were they in Russia?
I think they were.
Did she actually?
I remember one of the questions Barbara Walters asked him was, "Have you ever ordered anybody killed?" Little tougher than old Tucker Carlson there.
You know, I mean, she worked for. Did she not work for an news outlet though?
Yeah.
You know, you go murder a news outlet, people are gonna, you know.
Like, if you just murder Tucker Carlson, nobody cares.
Murder Tucker Carlson, and the video is never gonna come out.
Mike Wallace, 60 Minutes, if people remember old Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace, and people won't see this on radio, but I'll tell you what I'm doing, but this is what happened if you look at the interview. Mike Wallace said, to get anything done in Russia, and ran his hands together like money. And I didn't see Tucker Carlson asking any questions like that.
I think...
Did that right to Vladimir Putin's face. Yeah, to get anything done in Russia...
I think it is reasonable to have assumed that you would have got tougher questions from Tucker.
Anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
And Mike Wallace is dead. Chris Wallace, who's Mike Wallace's son, who is a good journalist and was on Fox News and did a great job on the Sunday morning show. What was the term he used for?
Eager puppy.
He called Tucker Carlson an eager puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was.
Yeah.
And it was just awful.
So I hope that didn't happen in your interview with that Chase Taylor, whatever his name is.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
I thought it was good. I thought it was a good interview.
Okay.
Was there a question that you asked that you were apprehensive about asking?
Chase?
Yeah.
Not that I can think of.
Then there probably weren't any hardball questions.
I mean, I got the man's like political stances. I got him, like, he told me he was a Democrat, he supported Barack Obama originally, that kind of thing. Like, I think it was good. He gave a lot of information about himself. It's definitely informative.
It's interesting, because I listened to it when it was being taped.
Okay, so you've heard it.
I've heard it.
Okay.
So I don't want to say
anything.
I don't want to Monday morning quarterback it.
You're going to wait till Monday morning.
I'll wait till Monday morning, okay. That's right, and quarterback it. No, but
that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. But, and it's not. I'm not going to criticize it. I'm not going to be like Chris Wallace.
But you have certain comments you want to make about it.
Yes, because there were moments where things went off in my head where I said, "Oh, what about?" It was those questions. Well, what about?
And that's the difference between your experience and Matt's experience.
Right, but I've been doing it a long time.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll develop that.
Yeah,
oh,
you're right. That's your second interview. I mean, this is not exactly... Yeah. Well, no, the interview's fine. I would listen to it again. I probably will listen to it again. But...
So this will be his second interview, because his first one was with that football player.
Oh, don't even say the name. Lord.
So,
oh, by the way, the top 10 list will be back. Our top 10 list writer has just been busy. I want to make sure I said that before we ran out of time.
Cool. So how many interviews does Matt have to do till he works up to being able to do an interview with Opal Covey?
Oh, take some time. Take some time and work. Time and effort.
No, I don't know. That might be one of the easiest. You ask her one question, and at that point, you could just stop.
Yeah. Leave the room. Go get lunch. Come back by the time it's say goodnight. No, it's a good interview, and I would listen to it because it is informative. So that's important. The only thing I'm saying were, as a listener, as everybody will be tonight, if I would have listened to anybody do the interview, there would have been points where I would go, yeah, but what about, when he would answer a question.
Okay.
That's all.
Interesting.
Yeah. But
well, I'll be listening tonight at 10:15.
Yeah.
I'll set my alarm for 10 o'clock so I can get up.
Don't set it for 8 o'clock or anything. Sleep right through that 8 o'clock show. That's a mess. Just make sure you get there by 10:15. You'll be fine. Ay. See, that's collateral damage.
Yeah.
Collateral damage.
Well, maybe if Sean was going to be there tonight, maybe I'd, set my alarm for
him. Well, that's neither here nor yon at this particular point. But the Tucker Carlson interview was awful, and that's too bad. Because, listen, if you get the shot, you take it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, you stop and think about it, it was like a major coup or whatever that he got that interview.
Yes. You don't then fumble it.
Right. I mean, this is your one chance.
And, it is. If he's happy with it, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine he would be happy with that.
I thought it was fine, like I said. Maybe I just like to listen to Vladimir Putin talk, and I'm just weird like that.
But Vladimir Putin fan club?
No, Vladimir Putin fan club.
I don't. You didn't.
It's like Charles Manson. Like I like.
So you didn't
Charles
have
Manson
any.
Talk to. It's just because he was nuts.
So you didn't have any. Yeah, but what about when Tucker Carlson would say? So you said, yeah, but what about?
I mean, I'm sure I did. Not off the top of my head, though, that I can think of.
Anyway, it's interesting. But like I said, there's only one time in my career where I've ever done an interview where there were things that I couldn't ask, and that was Bill Cosby. And the only reason I agreed to it was because the story itself was big, that it's the first interview out of prison.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel I needed to have everything on the table.
Yeah.
But I would not. If Governor Strickland had called and said, Scott, you know what? I'll do that interview with you this morning, but we can't talk about the first energy scandal. Well, why would I do it?
Right.
What are we going to talk about?
Right.
Yeah. What was it like being governor? How's your wife? that's not the interview I want to do. If Bob Taft had said, I'm not going to answer your question about abortion, what's the point?
Right.
What was your great-grandfather like? No.
If who's that guy ran for governor? With the cowboy hat?
Blystone,
thank you. If Blystone had told you up front,
yes,
I'm not going to answer about the COVID vaccine.
What am I going to talk about?
What
am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
If Jim Renacci, who didn't answer the question, had said, you can't ask me if I'm going to run for governor, why am I interviewing you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they can always opt not to answer, but that's on the record.
Right. But when they say up front.
Yeah, but before listen, once we're on, we can't talk about that. No. Not worth it. But that's the other thing I did want to touch on today was Bob Taft. What about that? We finally found out, for those of you who don't remember, and we're going to wrap this up here in about a minute, former Governor Bob Taft, Republican governor, strong Republican governor, two-term governor in Ohio, great-grandson of William Howard Taft, former Republican president, former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, appointed to the Supreme Court by Warren G. Harding, on election morning came on live, and I said, how do you feel about Issue 1 and Issue 2? He said, Issue 2, I know how I'm voting with that. Issue 1, abortion, I honestly can't tell you. He came back on Monday. I said, we all want to know what happened on election morning. He voted yes. Shocked me. I honestly thought when he would have gotten there.
That is surprising.
I couldn't. If there would have been somebody around when he said that, my jaw dropped.
And I think he honestly knew that first morning how he was going to vote, but was afraid to say.
See, I don't know. See, that ran through my mind, but here's the problem. Because clearly he's admitted it now. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, why admit it now? He could have lied. Mm-hmm. He could have said he didn't vote for it. Certainly would have saved him a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I kind of put him in the Travis Kelce category on this one. The event happened where he didn't give an answer, but when he came back, he did, and he gave the one you didn't think was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to like what he did.
Right.
But he was honest.
Yep.
Clearly honest. Now, don't we want that from politicians?
Yeah.
Do you want the old Blystone? I'm going to move out of the state if DeWine wins. And then the next day, that's just campaign talk.
And
or the Renacci, I'll never support DeWine. And then, there are circumstances.
Whatever he wants me to do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So So do you want that or do you want Bob Taft?
Well, at least he's honest.
Yeah. I mean, again, you obviously don't like his stance on this.
Right.
But is it, you knew where Strickland was going to vote.
Right.
Okay. So does it mean more that a Republican did that than Strickland doing that? They're both governors. They both were governor in the same era.
Not really. I mean, it's at least he's being honest about it. So,
but you seem a little more perturbed with Bob Taft doing
right,
it than
you don't
Ted Strickland doing
you
it.
You don't expect the Republican to do it.
Right. So you would rather he would have fallen.
I would rather he had voted a different way.
And I'll tell you what. And again, in Ohio, he still lives in Ohio. He teaches at Dayton. He didn't trash Donald Trump. But he said, I'm a Nikki Haley person, even though that's a long shot. And when I said, what are you going to do if she, clearly she's not going to get the nomination, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I said, would you rule out voting for Joe Biden? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Bob Taft, like him or dislike him, is not doing the political dance anymore.
He's not.
And I give him credit for that.
I agree.
I mean,
and Ted Strickland this morning said, even though he said he didn't agree with what Mike DeWine did, he said, I like Mike DeWine. I give him credit on a lot of the decisions he made. So you know what? I'm more okay with that than I am this whole just party, gotta follow you.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. I can't imagine that whole groups of people just believe this, everything the same.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that... Man, I don't even remember what I was going to say now.
Upset. It was that deep. So what do you make about Bob Taft?
I do remember what I was going to say now. I don't know that it necessarily matters that he voted for abortion. I mean, like Ohio in and of itself has, like, one, I think, right? Is it still one Democrat on the entire elected official?
Sherrod Brown, yeah.
Yeah, we have a U.S. Senator, yep.
So out of all of Ohio, we have one Democrat that was elected, and we passed abortion by, like I think it was like 57% almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why it was all so surprising when he said he voted yes on it.
Because typically Republicans don't vote yes on that, and
yes,
typically
I
Republican governors don't vote yes on that,
like,
and typically your grandfather.
I understand that, but like at the same time, like Marion is a heavily Republican, or not just Marion, Ohio is a heavily Republican place, and Ohio it passed. Wildly passed.
See, again, this is where I think you miss perception. You voting yes in a highly Republican state, nobody cares about. A former Republican governor who's the great-grandson of Bob Taft voting yes on abortion, ooh, that makes news.
Right.
It's all who's coming out of the groundhog suit.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes.
If you come out of the groundhog suit, it's not an AP story. Miss Ohio jumps out of it,
it's a story. That's right.
Perception, and if you're not aware, then I don't know what world you're living in.
I mean, I understand why it is. It's a little, I guess, unorthodox, but I don't know. I mean, like, it passed like astoundingly. I think you would have had to almost assume that he did. I mean, especially with like, I'm almost with Pastor Craig there, especially with how he answered when you asked him the first time.
I was shocked about that.
He said, like, I'm not sure how I'm gonna vote on it.
Yeah, but they can lie. We can't check how they voted.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't. And that did him more harm within his own party than it helped him.
Well, is Bob Taft still doing the anything in politics?
No, but his lineage is what's important. He's got a legacy. You know, DeWine apparently doesn't care about legacy, so he said this morning, but some people do.
DeWine doesn't.
Well, but I don't want to... You heard that whole bit this morning, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you make of it? You'll have to ask her.
Yeah. There were several things that were kind of surprising. I mean, I don't know.
Does DeWine have a memory issue?
I'm beginning to wonder. Seriously.
He can't remember the guy's name coming up at the dinner. He can't remember his chief of staff telling him that. And the lobbyists who are there say, if DeWine doesn't know, go with it. And if he does... Don't act surprised.
I mean, the last time I saw him, you know, speaking, and I don't remember what it was, but it was a few months ago. I mean, I just kind of had a bad feeling.
But he did threaten to whoop by Stone's derriere.
Yeah.
You know what? But this is not an age issue. See, this is the only problem I have with Biden and DeWine, because Graham Kerr was on Wednesday, 90 years old, no, sharp as a tack.
It's not an age thing. You know, a certain age doesn't guarantee you're losing mental faculties. A certain age younger than that doesn't guarantee that you'll have all your mental faculties. I mean, it varies.
And Larry Merchant, 93 on Sunday, if you would have heard him talk about the game and his knowledge of Taylor Swift and everything, there's no age in Larry Merchant at this point.
Nope.
So there you go. And Mary Ellen this morning didn't do the dance when I asked her about DeWine. I think he knows. Yeah. And I think he's lying. I think she said that. I think that was the quote. I think he's lying.
Yeah.
Now, Ted Strickland wouldn't say that. Mary Ellen did. So, you know, here we are. Whatever you want to say. Coming up next, news you didn't get on this show.
News you didn't get anywhere else.
All right, with Pastor Craig, and then 8 to 10 tonight, Matt Carrington and myself, and then the big interview with Chase Oliver, the exclusive 10:15 to 11. Stay tuned.
President's Day holiday. Many City of Marion departments will be closed on Monday the 19th. Offices in Marion City Hall will be closed. The City Council.